Take your Bibles and turn to Nahum, the Old Testament, chapter 2 and verse 1. Nahum chapter 2 and verse 1 is our text. As we bring you a message, sound the battle cry. Got to have a story to go along with this, so I've got one here. Okay. There's a construction crew on top of a high-rise building in one of the major cities of our country, and one of the strong young men was bragging that he could outdo anyone in feats of strength that was there working on the building. So he just wasn't satisfied with that, but old Elmer, he made a special case of making fun of all the older workmen. So after several minutes, one older worker just had enough. He says, "Why don't you put your money where your mouth is? I'll bet you a week's wages that I can haul something on a wheelbarrow over there to the ledge of this high-rise building, and you can't bring it back." Old Elmer says, "Well, you're on, old man. I got you on this one. I'm looking forward to that week's pay." And so the old man just reached out, grabbed a wheelbarrow, looked at Elmer and said, "Get in it." He didn't want to go to the edge of the building, and he certainly couldn't haul himself back in it, could he? So, but he had sounded the battle cry, but he couldn't do anything about it. See, when you sound the battle cry, it's got to be in Christ. That's the way it has to be. It has to be in Christ. So we look in our text in Nahum chapter 2 and verse 1. "He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily." Now shall we pray. Father, I pray as we look into your word that the Spirit of God would just take over this service, Lord. I pray, Father, for not only boldness, but a holy utterance that allows thy Holy Spirit to speak in such a way that no one can be indifferent to the word of God. Help us to rightly divide your word. If there's one again among us that is not saved, does not know if they die today, that heaven's their home, may today be the day they receive Christ as Savior. If there's one that has wandered far from you, I pray that today be the day they come home. And we'd ask this in that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we ended chapter 1, and we saw a prophesied victory there when Judah would overcome, Jerusalem would overcome, the Jews would overcome their enemy Nineveh. But it was beyond that too. We've been jumping over the period of time to see at the tribulation when Israel looks like it's going to be defeated completely and they're going to lose it all. Then Jesus comes back and delivers them once again and delivers to them the victory. Well, at this time in the day of Judah, they're surrounded by the armies of Nineveh. Things really look bad. And yet, victory is very near. And this should be as much a prophecy, really, for Nineveh as it was for Judah. 150 years later, Jonah went in to Nineveh preaching what God was going to do to them in about 40 days. Everybody repented. Nobody had the attitude of, "Well, our sin's not that bad." I mean, they all repented. They got it right. And God spared them and gave them another 150 years. They had the wisdom to repent. Oh, if they had had the wisdom of their forefathers. Now, if you truly believe that He is Almighty, that He is the Creator, and the omnipotent, omniscient God, you truly believe that, then you will heed the warnings that He gives, whether it's to save people of the shameless of being saved so as by fire. Did I do that? Or whether it be that, or whether it be the unsaved man as he's looking at the lake of fire, eternal judgment, never escaping that place if he dies without Christ. And so as they stand there, judgment's about to hit. Just remember this about the judgment of the day coming. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's a matter of when. Now, today we're just going to look at the battle right there. I mean, instead of jumping over and look at the tribulation, we're going to keep it right here. And the first thing I want you to see is sound the battle cry. For as our text says, for that which dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Now, dashes in pieces has come up before thy face. That is not looking at God. That's looking at Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and therefore of Nineveh. He is coming up. And this has been the way he's been. He is a Satan-empowered man, just like the Antichrist will be in the tribulation period. He sends one of his men by the name of Rabshakeh. He's a general of his army. And he gives out threats to the people there of Jerusalem. As he stands outside the wall, he's threatening them. He's making fun of them. He tells them that what they're going to do to them. And he warns how they are unstoppable. And he tells them, don't listen to Hezekiah. Don't let Hezekiah, your king, and Hezekiah was a good king, don't let him deceive you into thinking that Jehovah will deliver you. He makes the mistake of placing Jehovah God, Almighty God, on the level of the gods of the other countries. He places them on that level. But what he doesn't realize is all the other gods of the world men have created. Our God created us. He created the heaven and the earth. He created it all. Now, people are religious. And there's a reason they're religious. Now, you'll hear the ones, as Brother Hollis pointed out, about the young lady that said, I don't believe in God. But most of the world is religious. You see, we were made in God's image, and God is a spirit, the Bible tells us. So in our spirit, we know of the other world. We know that there's something else going on. We don't always understand what it is, but we know that there is something going on. What is it? We know there's an afterlife. The world's tried to make fun of it, you know, and they have spirits, and they've done that since day one. They've gone back, you know, and said, well, you know, there's a ghost, there's a devil, cartoons about ghosts and so forth like that. But really, that's just a takeoff on the fact that God made us after his image. Man was made in the image of God, not a bodily form, but in a spirit form. We understand. And man has religion. So people are religious, but they do not want the holiness of God. And because Satan is able to show them many things that appeal to their flesh, and he makes them feel good about their flesh. Isn't that what happened with Eve? Hey, God didn't surely mean that, you know. Hath he surely said, thou shalt die? No. He knows that if you eat that fruit, you're going to be just like he is. He is a deceiver. He was a liar about God, and he deceived them. And he made Eve say, well, you know what, that would feel good to me. That would feel good to me to be on that level with that voice that walks through the garden during the day and talks with us. Oh, wouldn't that be great? But she's deceived. And Satan's been doing that ever since, deceiving people into thinking, oh, hey, that feels good. And they can maintain religion. They can be religious, very religious, and be headed to hell wide open and not know it. Death, disease, destruction proves that God, that the gods of the world do not help. They don't help when a home is breaking up. They don't help when your health is going and you are labeled terminal. There's only assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nineveh will surround Judah with 185,000 soldiers. These soldiers are already battle trained. They know what it's all about. Judah, with all the population that's inside of Jerusalem at that moment that they're surrounding the city, they're so outnumbered, it'd be like, just using every person, it'd be like 1 to 1,000. They're outnumbered. But always remember, when you're on God's side, you're always in the majority. No matter how many numbers the world has, God's side is the majority. Now, Rabshakeh causes the men on the walls to fear. I mean, he really scares them as he's talking. Listen in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 26 through 28. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah to Rabshakeh, "Speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. And talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall." But Rabshakeh said unto them, "Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?" Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, "Hear the word of the great king of Syria." And he goes on to tell them what they're going to do to them. And it's scary. But not as scary as when the word of the Lord speaks and carries it out. Oh, listen. Fear God. Learn to fear the Lord. Proverbs tells us that the fear of man brings the snare, but the fear of the Lord brings great confidence. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So here they are. They're surrounded. I like what the book of Isaiah teaches. Praise ye the Lord in the fires. When you're standing for the Lord and everything seems lost, everything seems like it's going down the drain, stay with the word. Stay with the Lord. There's victory in Jesus. Always there's victory in Jesus. Well, Rabshakeh has dashed in pieces many armies. So it fits very well with what he said there in 2 Kings that we just read to you. They know they've done this. That testimony's gone everywhere. Everybody knows what this army is. They know how they act. So dashing in pieces fits well with everything that he said. And they dispersed people. He said, why would they disperse the people? Well, most of them they would kill. But what they dispersed was in order that that city, that nation could not rise up again. They just scattered them everywhere so they would not rise up again. Remember the northern kingdom of Israel? That northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, they were scattered with the hopes they would never come back. That was their battle plan, and so they killed so many, and what they did keep alive that would help them out, they scattered everywhere. He disperses them to rise up no more. That's the idea behind it all. It's just like Satan. Yes, Satan wants this done to Israel because it's the apple of God's eye. But also, as a saved person, you're the apple of his eye as well. And Satan wants to destroy your Christian testimony so you can't be effective He knows he can't cause you to go to hell. That's past. Once you receive Christ as your Savior, you cannot go to hell. But he can make you so ineffective that you cannot bring others and rescue the perishing and care for the dying. He can do that so well that you cannot bring another soul to Christ. He'll destroy your testimony and you cannot be effective for the Lord. Watch out. So many have fallen. So many have fallen. Homes have fallen. Churches have fallen. Oh, be so careful. We next see the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's our adversary. He is our adversary. He wants you to rise up no more. He doesn't want you to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus? Man, it has a great glowing report. I mean, it talks about their faithfulness and all these other things. And then he says, but you've left your first love. You've left your first love. You got away from the heart for the holy. You got away from the heart for righteousness. You got away from the heart for souls. You left it. And as much as they kept everything straight in the church, they left the purpose that God gave to the church. And they could no more do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because Satan is an adversary, and it's up to us whether he has a victory in our life or not. There are things as adultery, murder, depression, homosexuality, alcohol, and a host of things that have defeated Christians. And he gets in and he defeats a Christian life. And that testimony rises no more. And Satan keeps saying, God can't use you. You know how you've been. Everybody knows about it. God can't use you. But, oh, he can do it. He can do it. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, gives us the key to victory over the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Now, look, when he says resist the devil, that requires effort on our part. And that is an active thing that you do. It's not a passive thing. So many people say, well, the Lord just didn't help me. Maybe it's because you made a pitiful effort. Again, we serve him with all of our hearts. So he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So he gives us the notes for victory. He gives us the sound. He sounds the battle cry. And that battle cry is for the Christian. Submit yourself to God completely. He is in total control. He is Lord, your servant. Resist the devil. He's your enemy. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. It's our duty. 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 If you are saved, that is your duty. But not only does he sound the battle cry, and he has to sound the battle cry because he dashes in pieces, but next we see he says to keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, and fortify thy power. Now when he says keep, it means to guard. Judah is here commanded these things because Sennacherib is coming. Just as we as Christians today are commanded in light of the spiritual warfare that's going on, that awaits us, especially as the days grow dark and the appearing of Christ is very soon, and evil seems to get worse and evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, 2 Timothy 3:13 says. And as that time goes on, as that time progresses, we are called to stand. Guard the munitions. By the way, guard the munitions. The munitions there is referring to the fortress. We are, as they, to guard the fortress, the house of the Lord, but particularly the faith, the doctrine, that by which we live, fortify it. God will move through the army of Nineveh. And when he does, he'll destroy in one night by himself 185,000 soldiers. Battle train. And the Bible records it. What Judah has to do is simply trust God in the fortress of faith. Don't run from it. Oh, there's a problem coming. Boy, I can't face that. I can't face this with my family. I can't face this with my job. I can't face this in my community. I can't do this. Oh, Satan will attack. You know, it's funny because getting to this age, which hasn't always been fun, but getting to this age, I've watched generations coming up after me, and they say some of the same things that I heard in my generation starting out. You know what it is? You legalist. You got standards. You're a legalist. All right. I'm a legalist. Why don't you get out in your car and drive 100 miles an hour down 36th? Don't do it while I'm out there. But drive 100 miles an hour down 36th Avenue. Well, no, man, I get along. That boy, all this happened. Oh, you're a legalist? Are you a legalist? I mean, it doesn't matter if there's a school zone. Don't be a legalist. If you want to drive through that school zone 60 miles an hour, go ahead and do it. I don't care what the law says. Don't be a legalist. You say, preacher, that's stupid. Yeah. Just as stupid as a guy says legalist about standards. No. The guy says legalist about standards are more stupid because they have the Word of God before them. None of us could hold in our hand a law book. There's too many laws written in it. The devil, the world, the flesh is much stronger than we are in and of ourselves. That's why we must trust the Lord. We must trust His Word. Don't look to numbers. Don't look to the weaponry of the flesh. Rather, the good hand of the Lord, His Word. Let His Spirit direct us in the battle of life. Put on the whole armor of God, as Ephesians chapter 6 says. They're also to watch the way, our text said. Now, some of you older folks here, you know this. Okay, so what I'm saying is, older folks already know this. Younger folks may not realize this. Okay, but did you ever think there was a time that local churches would have homosexual leaders? That they'd have rock and roll preachers? That they'd have preachers who were dressed and with the features of the most ungodly style of the world? No, that won't happen. I mean, not even the Whiskeypalians do that. They don't even do that. So we wouldn't do that. But it's happening today. It's happening. Preachers are to be watchmen. So don't get upset that when that preacher warns of the enemy that's coming in, you say, but I like that. Don't get upset. That enemy is trying to enter the camp. Look, Jesus Christ got very offended and made a cord. I mean, he got a cord and a whip and drove people out of the temple. He got upset when you try to desecrate the house of prayer, when you take it away from the holiness of God. God gets upset. There are many things that we are told to watch for. In Jude 4, he says that there are certain men crept in unawares. Okay, they're crept in unawares. They seem to be one of you, other words. They're crept in unawares. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These are people that will come to the church and they'll be the most vocal about the standards of the church against it. He warned us that would happen. And just like he said it would happen, remember he told Sennacherib what was going to happen to their army around Israel, and it happened. Remember, he said 120 years earlier, there's going to be a flood of waters, and it happened. Remember, he said way back in Genesis about a coming Savior, and it happened. Remember, he's talked about Israel being back in the land, and it's happening. Why don't you practice some critical thinking? Now, today's critical thinking is always of God, His Word, and the things like that, and that's the wrong way. Critical thinking should be of the world and their philosophies. You know, that's what critical thinking was supposed to be about, is philosophy. This is absolute truth. So it doesn't need your critical thinking. You don't have, and I don't have, none of us in here have, the ability to think critically on the Word of God. Ours is to believe it, to live by it, and to practice it. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The point is, the enemy is always out there watching, seeking, and looking for a way into the local church to bring it down. He's looking to get into the life of each Christian individually. Be ever watching in these dark days before the return of Christ. Pastors must watch the church. Men, you need to watch your homes. Watch your homes. Make that loin strong. That is, make the inner man strong, for the enemy is wanting to come in and spoil the treasures of righteousness and true holiness in your life. And we have a 3-point plan to strengthen the loins. First of all, the Word of God. Schedule it daily. If you've got to get up half hour, an hour earlier, schedule the Word of God in your life daily. Daily. Schedule it for first to read it, secondly to meditate on it, and thirdly to obey it. But do it every day. And then secondly, prayer. Prayer. Prayer is the responsibility of every Christian. But it ought to be in conjunction with God's Word. Seems like we want to pray for things that God says, go ahead and pray for these needs, and give us this day our daily bread. But you know what? Just don't pray for your carnal needs, whether it's sickness or all. Those things are things we pray for, but we need to pray for a revival of holiness. How many of us have specific souls that we're praying for that we believe or know are unsaved? How many of us are praying for them by name on a regular basis? How many have friends that are Christians that have gotten away from God's house or have gone into the way of the contemporary or something of that, and you say, yeah, they've gone that way. Are you praying for them by name? Now, sometimes on our part, we get down on, you know what, they were acting like they were one of us. They went out there to another church and they're into all that stuff. Well, I don't know what drew them away, but I can tell you this. We need to pray for them. We need to pray that they'll get right. We don't need to run them down. They're already down. Let's pray they'll get right. Pray there be a revival. Then thirdly, obey him in all things. Be witnessing, faithful to God's house. Keep your family right. Be pure. Put no wicked things before your eyes. Love the brethren. Separate from sin and worldliness. Refrain from gossip. Refrain from biting and devouring one another. See, in this war, we're to fast and pray. That's part of the battle cry. And we are to sound the battle cry. Fortify thy power. How do we fortify the power? You got to put people in position. How do we get people in position? Well, first of all, we fulfill the Great Commission. Great Commission is this. Share that Jesus Christ died for them. Paid the penalty for their sins completely. And rose up bodily from the grave. Listen, wait. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 48 said. This is just the first part of the Great Commission. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. He wants all to know. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But here's the point. He uses us to take that message. That's our responsibility. We're going to fortify it. You've got to get some people saved. Secondly, let's just not leave them after they get saved. Let's get them to the first step. So many say they got saved, but they don't even follow the first step. Get baptized. That shows what Jesus did for you. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead. I mean, Jesus died for us. He paid the ultimate penalty. And so many people believe it's below their dignity to just get in a tub of water and be dunked under and back up because what people might think. Well, that doesn't show that you had a real salvation experience if that's your attitude. But thirdly, we're to teach them to observe. Get with the Word of God. Edify one another. Build one another up in the faith. And then we train people to man the positions to fortify the fortress of faith. We edify. So we need to cry out. Cry out. Sound the battle cry. And if you've not joined in the battle, you're like those in Israel that they said, if you're afraid, you're scared, you don't want to join in this battle, then you go on home and, man, it went from 30,000 down to about 10,000. Why? Because they feared the armies more than they feared the Lord. What about you? Are you sure you're saved? Do you know if you died today that heaven's your home? Do you know that if you died this very day, that your spirit would be with Christ? And if so, would it be ashamed or have confidence, knowing you're going to hear well done? Where do you stand? Sound the battle cry. Just like it was about to happen in Jerusalem with Nineveh around, it's about to happen with the rapture. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads. Father, in a moment we're going to have the hymn of invitation. And I pray that this hymn, Stand Up for Jesus, hymn 665, will just be a song that tells, that stays in our heart as we go throughout the week. And when we're confronted by the temptations of the world, that we'll just stand up for Jesus. And I'd ask this in that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'd also say for those that have raised their hands now, they're not sure they're saved. I pray that they might come in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.